Welcome to This is Qigong, the 8th Qigong Institute podcast. I'm Tom Rogers, president of the Qigong Institute. We'd like to acknowledge the encouragement that we've been receiving from Podomatic fans for more podcasts. Thanks. Thanks also to people who are supporting the Qigong Institute by turning people onto our website and becoming members to support the website and podcasts. This podcast is about Qigong and Tai Chi, including what they are, their relationship to each other, why they're so vitally important, both personally and societally, and the science that describes them. There are several YouTube videos that go with part of this podcast. To see them, go to the Qigong Institute channel on YouTube. You can navigate there from the Qigong Institute website. Before launching into the podcast, I just want to say a short word about the Qigong Institute, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The Qigong Institute website contains a wealth of information on Qigong, including the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database and other scientific research, podcasts, Qigong social networking information, spiritual and spontaneous Qigong, Tai Chi, the U.S. government in Qigong, how to get started with Qigong, Qigong in the press, recommended books and DVDs, and much more. The Qigong Institute is also on Facebook. You can help further the work of the Qigong Institute by donating so that we can upgrade the website, sponsor Qigong and energy medicine research, and promote Qigong and wellness. And now, this is Qigong. To understand Qigong, it's helpful to start with Qi. In some respects, describing Qi, spelled C-H-I or Q-I, is similar to describing the tactile sensation of an elephant in a completely dark room. Every observer has a different sensory experience of the same object because they're feeling different parts of it. Likewise, Qi has been described in many ways. In the West, there's one handy but not quite complete or exact translation for Qi, which is energy. In addition to energy, Qi has been described as consciousness, breath, creativity, function, and more. In fact, I once listened to someone at a Qigong conference recite hundreds of definitions of Qi from a Chinese dictionary, none of which were energy per se. But most people have a fundamental experience with life energy. You know, I feel like I have a lot of energy today, or I just don't have a whole lot of energy for that right now. I'm kind of wiped out. But feeling or not feeling energetic is just part of the picture. According to the Chinese, Qi is life energy, the animating power that flows through all living things. If you're alive, you have it. You're born with a certain amount of qi, and you can acquire it through exercise, lifestyle, for example, emotional calm through reducing stress, and the environment, air, food, light. According to traditional Chinese medicine, to be healthy, you need enough qi, and your qi needs to be flowing and balanced. Not enough qi manifests as a chronic condition. Blockage of qi is manifested as pain or injury. Although many people are able to sense qi, often described as tingling or warmth or fullness, Western science has yet to discover exactly what qi is. But scientists in fields as diverse as physics, neuroscience, epigenetics, kinesiology, psychoneuroimmunology, and cell biology are making some amazing advances in the scientific understanding of the basis of Qigong, especially in the last couple of years. Western science has demonstrated that each cell in the body gives off and receives different kinds of energy, heat, light, vibration, magnetism, and electricity. For all practical purposes, Qi can be thought of as a combination of these different types of energy. In other words, qi is bioenergy as opposed to, say, biomolecules or biochemicals. Unfortunately, Western medicine treats the different types of bioenergy phenomena as byproducts of normal cellular function instead of recognizing them as intrinsic to the function. We're used to the Western medical practice of treating our body, or mass, with drugs and surgery. We grew up with it. It's familiar. It's quite effective at times. But there are many side effects, and the Western medicine does not do very well with chronic conditions. It's based on a model of intervention, that is, treating symptoms primarily through pharmacology instead of focusing on treating the root cause of illness. True wellness and prevention of illness requires each and every one of us to take primary responsibility for our own health care and not disempower ourselves by believing that someone else, like a doctor, is responsible for our own well-being. We need to make the connection with our healer within, our natural self-healing capabilities. When you get a cold, break or fracture a bone, cut your skin, in all these cases, your body heals itself. Although the doctor may set a bone or suture a wound, he or she doesn't heal you. Your friends and family don't heal you. You heal yourself. You have a healer within. The practice of Qigong allows you to connect with and strengthen your healer within. In 1905, Einstein proved the equivalence of mass and energy in the theory of relativity. We're all familiar with E equals mc squared. Physicists embraced this newly discovered natural law and made incredible advances, such as the development of nuclear weapons and quantum mechanics. By contrast, the medical and biological sciences have been much slower in researching and adopting energy-based as opposed to molecular or chemical-based, drug-based medicine. Another way to say this is that, in general, physics is missing in medicine. This is a tragedy. For instance, an energy medicine-based cure for cancer was demonstrated in the 1930s, but research on this proven treatment is still being ignored and suppressed today by mainstream Western medicine and governmental agencies. Seeing our body as energy instead of mass and chemicals requires adopting a different paradigm. Dr. Roger Yonka, founder and director of the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, has this insight about paradigms. If we are going to have a discussion about qi in the paradigm of the Chinese, the first thing we have to do is shake ourselves fairly vigorously and say, do not try to use your normal paradigm of understanding things when you are listening to somebody else's paradigm. Do not try to apply your normal social, educational, or intellectual framework to trying to understand this paradigm. And this is a discipline in itself, because we're habituated to making judgments from moment to moment based on the natural paradigm we learned as young children. You have to be able to unpack yourself from a paradigm just long enough to tune into another paradigm without somehow judging it against the paradigm you've used daily to survive. Urge yourself off one paradigm to be able to hear another, even if briefly. End of quote. Some researchers like to point out that to the Chinese there is no distinction between matter and energy. So qi is bioenergy, whereas the gong in Qigong is cultivation of that energy over time, or cultivation of your bioenergy over time. From the Chinese perspective, with Qigong, you cleanse, gather, circulate, and balance your life energy. Western medicine calls this process psychophysiological self-regulation to achieve homeostasis. Whereas from an Eastern medical perspective, psychophysiological would be referred to as mind-body or body-mind or even energetic. Although the term Qigong was coined in the middle of the 20th century, the origins of the practices that now constitute Qigong predate recorded history. The practices were known variously as Neigong, Daoyin, Yangsheng, and others. And when you go back far enough, shamanism. Qigong is self-initiated health practice consisting of a combination of movement, meditation, and breathing. The movement component includes posture. There's also self-massage. Qigong practice puts the autonomic nervous system into the parasympathetic mode, the relaxation regeneration state. This is the state induced by what Western medicine refers to as the relaxation response. Qigong can be done anywhere, anytime. Practicing Qigong is as simple as doing the three and tenfold corrections. Adjust the posture, breath, and mind. And consider this. As noted on the public broadcasting system program NOVA, all thoughts and emotions are energy, which means that you can affect them energetically through Qigong practices such as meditation and breathing. In our daily life, there are many examples of where our emotions affect our breathing, but we don't take advantage of the fact that conscious breathing can affect our emotions. In other words, by changing the pattern of your breath, you can change your mind. So that's a short intro to Qigong. Now let's look at Tai Chi for a minute. Tai Chi and Tai Chi Chuan are the older Wade Giles transliteration deprecated terms for the newer Tai Chi, where G is pronounced as in gee whiz. The newer or pinyin transliteration is supported by the Chinese government and is the de facto world standard for pronunciation and spelling. The term Tai Chi is more familiar to most people since it's been in use longer and is often used as a recognizable marketing term. Sometimes Tai Chi Chuan and Tai Chi Quan are used to denote Tai Chi practiced as a martial art, whereas Tai Chi may just refer to Tai Chi done for health reasons. However, Tai Chi may also refer to Tai Chi practiced as a martial art. So there's no hard and fast rule. The important thing to note is that all terms are used pretty much interchangeably to refer to the same thing, namely the practice of Tai Chi for health. I'm going to use Tai Chi. Tai Chi is actually Tai Chi 2, spelled T-U, or map of Tai Chi. Tai Chi 2 is literally the yin-yang symbol. The exercise that you see in the park is named after that map. It adds physical and mental complexity to a foundation of Qigong to achieve energetic balance and harmony. Note that Tai Chi was invented in a culture with a very long history of Qigong practices. Even Tai Chi lineage holders will explain that Tai Chi was first Qigong-like practices before becoming the more familiar martial art developed to defend a fiefdom. Tai Chi is a mind and body practice based on forms that can take years to learn and practice, and push hands. Push hands is a sensitivity training practice with partners. Tai Chi can be loosely categorized as either lineage-based or simplified. Both lineage-based and simplified are based on the principles of Tai Chi and a foundation of Qigong. The differences lie in how these principles are presented and practiced. Lineage-based Tai Chi is handed down from master to master, and there are strict interpretations of and adherence to style and form. Most Tai Chi practice consists of learning and then practicing a form. In the case of lineage-based Tai Chi, this can take years. Fortunately, Tai Chi is becoming much more accessible to the general public as simplified and shorter forms of Tai Chi are being developed for wellness. Novices can quickly learn to do simplified forms of Tai Chi to improve their health. At a recent international Tai Chi symposium, grandmasters were acknowledging that Tai Chi is moving Qigong, and that even one move of Tai Chi, in other words, Qigong, is beneficial for wellness. One venerable Tai Chi master explained that Tai Chi cultivates a relaxed spirit. A relaxed spirit is key to longevity. This relaxed spirit, achieved through Qigong's and Tai Chi's moving meditation, focuses your consciousness and awareness on your life as you are living it moment to moment. This spiritual state is referred to by many as enlightenment. Others recognize it as the relaxation response and guaranteed stress reduction. So Tai Chi is a form of Qigong, but then why are they referred to as two separate things instead of one just being part of the other? Qigong is associated with traditional Chinese medicine, and Tai Chi is associated with martial arts, so there is a perceived separation of the two, which does not in fact exist. Qigong is the foundation of Tai Chi. Tai Chi is the most well-known moving form of Qigong. So in what ways are Qigong and Tai Chi similar? A recent paper by Larkey and Yonka defines meditative movement as a new category of exercise, at least to the Western medical community. Meditative movement is defined by some form of movement or body positioning, a focus on breathing, and a cleared or calm state of mind with a goal of deep states of relaxation. Qigong and Tai Chi both qualify as meditative movement. This is the same definition of Qigong and Tai Chi presented at the consensus report of the National Expert Meeting on Qigong and Tai Chi held in 2005 at the University of Illinois. Qigong and Tai Chi do have some differences. Tai Chi can be practiced as a martial art. You express or direct force. In Qigong, you don't do this. Qigong has self-massage and Tai Chi doesn't. Tai Chi has push hands with partners and Qigong doesn't. Qigong often repeats the same movement over and over. Tai Chi has long forms that usually have little repetition in them. In Tai Chi, doing a form is a key focus. It can take many years to learn a form well enough to practice on your own. And this can turn people off, and it often does. And they don't know about the Qigong alternative. Tai Chi has added complexity, physiological as well as mental. Tai Chi can be more cognitively demanding, which is a good thing if you're trying to find exercises to promote brain plasticity and to keep your brain from deteriorating. The manner of breathing during the practice can be different. Tai Chi sticks to a set flow. Qigong isn't required to do this. Some forms of Qigong are completely spontaneous. There's an old joke, how many Tai Chi masters does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is 20. One to change the light bulb, while the other 19 shake their heads and say, that's not the way I was taught. There are the 1,000 people who each want to change the light bulb a particular way. This summarizes lineage-based Tai Chi. Forms and teachings are orally handed down. Although the forms can be modified occasionally over time and forms are created, the teachings are involved in the transmission of the forms predominantly. You have to get a good teacher who knows Qigong so that you can learn more than just a form. Here in the early years of the 21st century, we're seeing this practice, which has a strong tradition, carefully handed down for centuries, being adapted for health maintenance. There's a healthcare crisis, a society-wide emergency that can be addressed by disseminating Qigong and Tai Chi to as many people as possible. This could save hundreds of billions of dollars a year. In order to do this, simplified forms of Tai Chi have been created to make the myriad proven benefits of Tai Chi accessible to people. In addition to simplified forms of Tai Chi combined with Qigong, facilitators and practice leaders are required to lead practice sessions. Practice leaders are people with enough training to lead practices to get the benefits to people. They don't have to be lineage holders who spent a major portion of their lifetime learning a particular form of Tai Chi or Qigong. Practice leaders with minimal experience are what was recommended by the National Expert Meeting. People with enough experience to lead the basic practices is what is required to scale Tai Chi and Qigong benefits to a large population. The consensus report and a short video describing it are on the Qigong Institute website. So why do either Qigong or Tai Chi? What are people's motivations? People often feel motivated to do Tai Chi because they see old people doing it in the park and it looks cool. And if old people do it, it must be good for you, especially as you get older. Qigong is harder to get exposed to. As to why do either, you have to ask yourself, what do you do to stay healthy? What's your personal wellness program? There are three major components to health. First is a healthy, active lifestyle. This includes proper diet. Second is Western-style exercise, including aerobic exercises and weight training if possible. But you also need a mind-body practice. Two out of three is necessary but not sufficient. You can't be truly healthy by just a healthy lifestyle and Western exercise. Likewise, a mind-body practice that leaves out Western-style exercise is not sufficient either. A prime example of this is the Shaolin monks before the arrival of the legendary Bodhidharma. The monks were meditation machines, but not in the greatest health. What Bodhidharma taught them was to add movement to their meditation, thus creating moving meditation based on Qigong. Everyone knows the result. The Shaolin monks are famous for their athletic abilities, which I've been privileged to witness firsthand at the Shaolin Temple in Songshan, China. On a Qigong study trip organized by Qigong Institute Chairman Francesco Garipoli. So you need to balance your energy and handle stress. This requires a mind-body practice, not just a body practice, not just a mind practice. Depending upon which research you read, stress causes 70 to 90% of all illness, and it exacerbates every illness. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says that 70% of all illness is preventable. Learning a mind-body practice such as Qigong is beneficial just to remove or reduce stress from your life. That's huge. Qigong and Tai Chi are also range of motion practices. You lubricate all joints and promote elasticity and flexibility of muscles and connective tissue. You correct existing postural problems, which can be causing all kinds of illness symptoms. Qigong is the most profound preventative medicine ever invented. Think about it. The greatest medicine cabinet in the world is inside your body. The number one way to nourish this capability to prevent illness And aid healing is by doing mind-body practices. Mind-body practices, namely Qigong and Tai Chi, are a combination of movement, meditation, and breathing. And there's more. Do you also want to achieve a higher level of awareness and consciousness in your life? Do you want to experience relaxed awareness and observe its effect upon your daily life, like your ability to focus and accomplish more, make better decisions? Do you want to develop a guaranteed way to change your emotions and reduce stress on demand? If your answer was yes to any of these, then try Qigong. So the first question is, how do you start? Try different teachers, different books, different DVDs. You'll resonate with some and not with others. You want to do one that makes you want to keep doing it because you like it and it's fun. And, oh, by the way, you're feeling a lot healthier, too. Almost everyone really needs to be doing Qigong, but Tai Chi is what most people hear about, so they try that. If they try a type of Tai Chi that incorporates a lot of Qigong, that can be really good. If it's a straight lineage-based Tai Chi, then it's only going to appeal to a few people. So what's the best way to learn Qigong and Tai Chi? You can learn basic Qigong from the combination of DVDs and books. For Tai Chi, you also need to have instruction. The best way is to take classes and seminars from a teacher. Lots of YMCAs have classes, for instance. You can take a program like the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi 200-hour certification to teach Qigong and Tai Chi. After a professional program level like that, you have really learned a fabulous foundation in Qigong and Tai Chi. So how's it best to practice both? The main thing is to do it regularly, preferably at the same time each day. Develop your own routine that can be Qigong, Tai Chi, or both. Do what feels right for you. For example, in the morning I start by warming up my joints and connective tissue with Chen Tai Chi silk reeling exercises, followed by some Qigong, and then Tai Chi or Qigong form. So this brings us to what is some of the latest research on Qigong and Tai Chi. Well, a comprehensive review of health benefits of Qigong and Tai Chi, this paper reported on 77 randomized controlled trials, the Western medical gold standard for clinical research, of Qigong and Tai Chi published in peer-reviewed journals between 1993 and 2007. The studies involved over 6,000 participants. Tai Chi or Qigong were found to benefit bone density, cardiopulmonary functioning, physical function, falls and related risk factors, quality of life, self-efficiency, psychological symptoms, and immune function. Harvard Medical School got so excited that they called Tai Chi medication in motion and reported on the positive effects of placebo, which is the influence of thoughts and emotions on the immune system. This is the field of neuroscience called psychoneuroimmunology. Qigong and Tai Chi were recognized as a new category of exercise, moving meditation, in a paper by Larkey and Yonka. Moving meditation has three components: some form of movement or body positioning, a focus on breathing, and a calm mind with a goal of deep relaxation. This clear definition of moving meditation is a milestone along the way for it to be recognized as an accepted therapy that is reimbursed by the healthcare system. Researchers at the Harvard Medical School have confirmed that meditation, one of the major components of Qigong, leads to increases in gray matter in brain regions involved in learning and memory processes, sensory processing, emotion regulation, self-referential processing, and perspective taking. So Qigong increases neuroplasticity and daily spiritual experiences. Other research showed that spirituality is as important as fruit and vegetable consumption for reducing mortality. There's actually a research paper on that. People who meditate were also found to be less affected by adverse emotional stimuli and had greater emotional stability. One study summarized the effect of meditation by finding that it reduces physician costs by 28%, which is huge. There were also many research results on breathing, which is one of the three fundamentals of Qigong. The most common form of Qigong breathing is slow, deep abdominal breathing, which was shown to reduce heart rate, increase insulin, reduce free radical production, and reduce oxidative stress. Breathing exercises were also found to help in the treatment of asthma and the prevention of postoperative pulmonary complications after cardiac surgery, and after malignant and non-malignant diseases. Qigong's been found helpful for treating type 2 diabetes and autism. Many studies show Qigong is helpful for stress and chronic conditions such as chronic fatigue syndrome and chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. The practice of Qigong has been linked in several ways to DNA. Studies, including one by Harvard Medical School, demonstrated that Qigong has an effect upon cellular aging and gene expression. The effect of lifestyle upon these two factors is the field of cellular biology called epigenetics. Qigong positively affects telomeres and telomerase, which allows cells to live longer. This is true anti-aging and also the fountain of youth. Qigong also changes which genes are expressed. Qigong promotes gene transcription for stress reduction and improvement of immune function. Epigenetics is the effect of your lifestyle choices on gene transcription. So Qigong induces epigenetic changes which translate to health, active aging, longevity, and wellness. Research also shows that Qigong practices are effective for improving quality of life, cognitive function, immune function, side effects, and survival in cancer patients. Qigong was found to improve physiological and psychological health of wheelchair-bound older adults in long-term care facilities. Qigong was shown to help with addiction treatment outcomes and lowering stress in students in school. The Mayo Clinic promotes Tai Chi to their employees for improved health. Many studies found that Tai Chi helps reduce or delay cognitive dysfunction caused by aging, helps with osteoporosis and fibromyalgia, and improves physical function in individuals with peripheral neuropathy and arthritis. The Tufts Medical Center reports in a randomized controlled trial that Tai Chi reduces pain, improves physical function, self-efficiency, depression, and health-related quality of life for knee osteoarthritis. There are many, many other studies. I've just mentioned some of the amazing research results of the last few years. So what's the most exciting thing about Qigong and Tai Chi for me personally? There's certainly three major things. I think doing the movements and practice is the most important part, as opposed to, say, reading, talking, or thinking about it. What I may like the best is the movements themselves, how I feel during and after, and the awareness that it generates. Flowing movement is really beautiful. This sounds a lot like dance. Francesco Garipoli, the chairman of the board of the Qigong Institute, wrote a book called The Essence of the Healing Dance. You're moving through this river of life, and Qigong is a dance within the flow. So a second thing about it is the spiritual aspect. Spiritual Qigong is simply this. You bring your practice of Qigong into your daily life 24/7. You adjust your posture, which is the foundation of movement. You adjust your breathing, and you adjust your mind. You adjust your posture whenever you remember to do it. I certainly try to. And when you remember to do it, take a deep breath. Observe how you feel. Or if you remember to take a slow, deep breath, you observe your posture. Among other things, I use spiritual Qigong to fix my posture and remind me to stop and breathe deeply at the same time. So the last thing is fundamental research. I really like exploring the convergence of Qigong and neuroscience, physics, epigenetics, coherence, biophotonics, vibration, sound, electromagnetic signaling, consciousness, cell biology, and healing. Just one exciting example of all this is the discovery of biophotonics, or light created by cells. As early as the 1920s, a Russian researcher discovered that living tissue gave off photons. But as with many other discoveries, this one was too much for orthodox cell biologists to handle, so it took until the 1970s for German researchers, namely Fritz Popp, to replicate and expand upon this work. The resulting biophoton theory postulates that the light, which is given off by DNA, and there's research that's proven that, serves as the body's main communication and regulatory network. So more recent research has confirmed that DNA does in fact give off magnetic waves corresponding to biophotons. Biophotons then provide an explanation for the physical basis of life that is not biologically based. It's based on bioenergy. Biophoton theory also postulates a web or hologram of light created by the constant emitting and absorbing of photons by DNA, cells, tissues, and organs, and proteins. This hologram would correspond to auras and other energy matrices that have been part of Eastern philosophy and traditions for millennia. An energetic matrix would also explain basic morphology or cell differentiation. In recognition of the importance of biophotons, the National Science Foundation created the Center for Biophotonics Science and Technology at the University of California at Davis in 2002. In 2011, the center's status was updated to a National Biophotonic Sensors and Systems Center. Research will be carried out in collaboration with industry sponsors and the Boston University Photonics Center. According to the press release, working at the intersection of photonics engineering and life sciences, the center will focus on translational research where photonics provides the techniques for advancing methods to detect and identify biological properties and conditions or changes at the molecular, cellular, and subcellular levels. So that's really a pretty exciting stuff. And that doesn't even cover what is going on with other electromagnetic energy medicine research. So in conclusion, simply stated, Qigong is the most profound health practice ever invented by mankind for the prevention of illness, reducing stress, managing chronic conditions, increasing longevity, and promoting healthy, active aging. Self-applied health enhancement via the practice of Qigong is really simple, yet it's really powerful. Costs nothing to use, has no negative side effects, and can be practiced anywhere at any time by anyone. The potential for health system cost savings through disease prevention and wellness practices is enormous. The ability of Qigong to deliver basic health care to large populations is significant. The integration of mind and body for healing and health maintenance via Qigong is so profound yet practical that it has the potential to be nothing less than one of the primary medical breakthroughs of the 21st century. For more information on the contents of this podcast and Qigong, visit the Qigong Institute website, qigonginstitute.org.